Hello, I'm Charles Hagen over the phone, and you are listening to Tokyo Munchies Podcast, very entertaining show with very good products. Enjoy your munchies.
Remember now, missed it by that much.
Hey, yeah, hey guys, welcome back to the Tokyo Munchies podcast, and yes, missed it by that much. I know, it's Thursday now in Japan, and we were meant to publish on a Wednesday, and I'm very sorry we missed the publishing deadline, but that's life. Anyway, so we're back on a Thursday, which is better than nothing, and back into the fun. So today we're going to talk about Japanese chocolate again, because we're not quite finished with it yet. But before that, let's get into the meat and two potatoes of the podcast, Tokyo weather. I'm going to start with this, the good stuff. So it is Thursday in Tokyo, it is 9:43 a.m. Weather is clear, it's a lovely day, it's bright and shiny out there, pretty much cloudless. The last 2 days we've been experiencing some pretty windy conditions here. I'm not sure if it's haru ichiban. So we'll go Japanese word of the day while we're here. Haru is spring, ichiban is number one. At the beginning of spring you have haru ichiban, which means the first wind of spring. And yeah, it could have been, because I think spring is sprung, possibly. Cherry blossoms are starting to bloom. There's plum blossoms already, like, in full bloom in a lot of parts of Japan already. Not so much the northern parts, but walking around my local area, I can see some cherry blossoms starting to bloom. I can see some plum blossoms in full bloom already, which is quite nice. So the hanami is starting soon, and that Japanese word of the day for you guys, haru, spring, ichiban, number one. So haru ichiban is the first wind of spring. So back to the weather. So it's clear, it's Thursday, it's 9:45 a.m. It is a lovely 5 degrees. Oh, it's still chilly, that wind factor I mentioned just then. It's making it feel a lot colder than 5. Fahrenheit for you good friends over there, 41 degrees Fahrenheit. Man, I'd rather that. I'm in the equivalent of summer temperature right now. And precipitation is at 10%. Humidity is a lovely 42, and wind is 3 meters per second, which is a nice change from what we've been going through the last few days. So that's pretty much it for the Tokyo weather. Friday is going to be looking cloudy, Saturday cloudy and partially sunny, Sunday cloudy, Monday cloudy. Tuesday is going to be rainy. Yay. And Tuesday... aw, man, Tuesday is probably my first day back at work and it's going to be raining, so probably going to have to cancel my first day back at work, but that's life. Anywho, back into the normal stuff. Tokyo weather done and dusted. Onto the Japan news. Japan news number one, number two, number three. We'll go from the Google search results first. Actually, before we get into this, a little bit sidetracked. I'm not sure if you care or noticed. Facebook and the Australian government have been having a bit of a spat, a bit of a lover's tiff about posting news articles on the social media platform. I think it's leading towards misinformation, like fake news. And the Australian government's pretty much, alright guys, enough of posting fake news on your Facebook or whatever you call it, your face thingy. You just don't do it. And Facebook's like, no. We're a big company. We'll do whatever we want. And the Australian government's, well, you're not going to be doing it here, sunshine. Enough of that. And yeah, I think it went to court and there was a big carry-on. And I was on Facebook the other day and there was a disclaimer at the top saying that you're not allowed to post or share Australian news articles on the platform. I'm not sure how that works. I'm going to experiment with that a little bit later and see what happens. I'll grab a link from an Australian website, news website, and try to post it on my Facebook page and see what happens. Even if it won't post, or they might send me to Facebook jail, which is becoming quite a popular thing right now. So yeah, that's a little bit news related, but not Japan news related. So back to the Japan news, top stories from the Google search. Japanese government to strengthen support for youth isolated amid pandemic. That's very good. Should be doing that at the very beginning. Public-private sectors should collaborate to help ice-age generation. Righty, I'm not going to really go into that. It's an interesting one. Ministry punishes officials for ethnics violation. Right. Yeah, we're just not going to touch those Google searches. We'll go back into the tried, true, and trusted JapanNews.com. Here we go. Right, what have you got? Number one, Fukuoka Prefecture joins calls for early end of state of emergency. Fukuoka Prefecture decided to make a request Wednesday to the central government to lift the state of emergency in its prefecture at the end of the month. The state of emergency currently covers 10 prefectures and is scheduled to end March 7th. The prefectural government made a decision after blah, blah, blah. That's all very well and good, so... yeah, Fukuoka is saying, hey guys, enough of the state of emergency, let's just stop it now. Stop it, please. I'm not sure how badly it affects everybody around the world, like a state of emergency. I know it's an important thing. I know everything that's happening now is an important thing. Japan compared to the rest of the world, I think like in the UK, you guys had a hardcore lockdown. You couldn't even go outside to scratch yourself. I think Australia, we had a little bit of that going on too. I know Australia, we closed the borders, so Queenslanders and couldn't travel across borders. Victorians couldn't travel. Anybody in Queensland, you couldn't travel to another state. In Japan, they pretty much said, right, we're in a state of emergency. We humbly suggest that the schools close. And some schools did, some schools didn't. Most international schools just went into a panic and shut down for 3 months, or longer, or shorter. A lot of Japanese schools just went, nah, yeah, well, maybe. And restaurants were requested to close at 8 p.m., like stop serving food and drinks at 7 p.m., close up by 8, or around about that. And they requested you not to go outside. It was all just requests. There was no stern, don't do it or I'll smack you. It was none of that. It was just like, please don't do that. And pretty much, like, if you're listening to my podcast, you probably have a good interest in Japan anyway. You know the Japanese wear masks all the time, every year. Not so much summertime, but spring, during the Haru Ichiban, that first wind of spring when all the cedar pollen's floating around and all the dust and particles. They have a really big hay fever thing going on here, so Japanese love wearing masks in springtime due to the pollen and the hay fever, the kafunsho. They love wearing masks in winter due to just the common cold and flu. And I think autumn time is a bit of a mask wearing event as well. The leaves dropping, dust particles, pollens and stuff. So 3 months, like three seasons out of the year, they're wearing masks. And you don't really touch other people too much. Like, you don't shake hands here in Japan as a welcoming, like as a, hey, nice to meet you, shake hands, you bow. So there's not too much physical contact other than on the trains. You know Tokyo trains are famous for being overcrowded. So the Japanese already wear masks. The Japanese don't touch each other too much. There's no social kissing going on. That's sort of frowned upon. You rarely ever see a Japanese couple kiss in public. It's very, very, very rare. Even on TV shows, you're watching TV and there's a commercial for a TV drama and the two protagonists, the two love interests, they go in for a bit of a smooch, and just before the contact, it's cut. Because they sort of frown upon kissing in public. Holding hands is okay, but yeah. So you got those three things, masks, not touching everybody, each other, and not kissing. So there's those three barriers which eliminate the spread of contagions to start with. And so the Japanese are pretty clean. So there's no real need for a massive hardcore lockdown. So, yeah, the state of emergency, back to the news anyway, the state of emergency is looking to be lifted on March the 7th, so we'll get back to normal work. Fukuoka is like, hey guys, let's do it earlier than that, we're sick of it. And yeah, that's Japan News number 1, Japan News number 2. 11 officials disciplined over scandal involving Japan's Prime Minister's son. Here we go, this could be juicy. 11 officials in the Internal Affairs and Communications Ministry were disciplined on Wednesday over the whining and dining of ministry officials by Tokukushi. Oh, some Japanese words are hard to pronounce. Let's try again. Tokukushinashafionkorp. The employer of Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga's eldest son. The ministry announced on Wednesday afternoon that it had wined and dined the son in a scandalous whining and dining affair. So whining and dining here in Japan is pretty much you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We do that in every country in the world. Yeah, it's not really exciting. I just like the headline, it's a scandal. And Suzuki Motor says 91-year-old chairman to retire. Oh my god. Suzuki Motor says 91-year-old chairman to retire. Tokyo Reuters. Suzuki Motor Corp's 91-year-old chairman, Osamu Suzuki, announced he will retire in June, stepping aside for a new leader to navigate the shift of electric cars and fight off competition from tech giants such as Tesla and Apple. The company announced it will invest in the younger leadership and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, guys, another interesting cultural thing here in Japan, work-wise, like, you know the old Japanese style where you work for a major corporation, you got a job for life? That thing is sort of dying out, but it's still prevalent. And a lot of the old boys, the OBs as they call them, these old Japanese cats, they'll get into a job and they'll get up to like leadership position like a chairman or something like that. And they'll stay at work until they're well in their 90s. Like Suzuki-san, he's 91 and he's going to retire in June. And it's not uncommon to see sexagenarians, octogenarians, still going to work every day, leading their companies or running their companies. It's not uncommon. I have students I used to teach English to. They were Obachan, they were a group of older Japanese ladies, and they're in their 60s, and one of the ladies' fathers, so he's in his 80s, like almost 90s, he had a company, and he was still going to work every day, despite suffering major medical problems, onset of dementia, and a lot of other things. He was still going to work every day. In the rest of the world, we retire. We get out of work as soon as we possibly can. I think Australia is 65, 67 is retirement age. Other countries are similar. But yeah, but Japanese old cats, they just keep going. They just keep going to work. It's duty. It's honor bound. You have to keep working. And I say to hell with that. I'm an Aussie. I love Japan. I love living here. But as soon as I click that 65 button, booyah, retirement. Sell off all my skateboard collection. Sell off all my Marvel comic book collection. Sell off all my Dragon Ball Z figurine collection. Sell off everything I have, which I've collected my whole life. All in mint condition, guys. I'm a mad collector. I collect everything in mint condition. Never open the boxes. I'm going to sell all that stuff off and retire and enjoy life. But yeah, I'm not going to get too sidetracked. But that's Japan News number 1, number 2, number 3. We've got a couple new things to talk about today. We're going to go for a commercial break and we'll come back after that. We'll talk about some Japanese chocolate. The reason why you're here for the Tokyo Munchies. So we'll see you shortly. Enjoy. What's better than a goat? A moon goat. Moon goats are magical creatures which appear with the moon. If you see a moon goat, make sure you say hello. Have a great day. And drop by tokyomunchies.ticktail.com and get yourself some Japanese candy. Yeehaw!
Alrighty then, back into the beast. Now we're talking about what you're here for.
Tokyo Munchies. And last time on the podcast, we covered chocolate. We covered the Lotte Buckers chocolate, the Cognac chocolate, and also the Lotte Rummy, the rum and raisin. Because we just went past Valentine's Day here in Japan, we'll just talk about that quickly before we get into the good stuff, the chocolate. So if you're unaware, Valentine's Day in Japan, it is opposite. Opposite's probably the best word I can use to describe it. So typically in Western countries, when it's Valentine's Day, we give each other presents, or the man normally is a lot more romantic. The male of the species is a lot more romantic, like chocolates, flowers, nice lunch or dinner, maybe some jewelry, perfume, some lingerie. A little bit sexy, a little bit nice, a little bit steamy. So typically we give each other gifts, so the male of the species is a bit more romantic. In Japan, Valentine's Day is opposite, and the reason why I say this for is February the 14th, Valentine's Day, in Japan, traditionally women give men chocolate. Men don't give women anything. That's traditionally how they do it. So Valentine's Day, like, oh, anata wa daisuki da yo, anata wa love it, I love you. And Japanese women give men chocolate. And there's a few different types of chocolate. Maybe I'll just go two to just make it a little bit more easier to talk about and clearer. So there's your traditional I love you chocolate, where it's sincere, from the heart, like I have feelings for you, daisuki. I really like you, you're number one, I love you, daisuki. So here's some chocolate. And the other chocolate we're talking about is giddy giddy choco. It's another Japanese word of the day for you guys there, giddy giddy. Giddy giddy is like duty or obligation. It's onomatopoeia, giddy giddy. So giddy giddy choco is what the Japanese say. Giddy giddy choco, or obligation duty chocolate, is when you are duty bound to give chocolate. You don't have to like the person, you just give them chocolate because it's Valentine's Day and it's your requirement due to your selection of species. So if you're the female, if you're the female in Japan, you are obligated to give chocolate to your male co-workers, your male friends, your male family members. That's like an obligation. You don't have to do it. I've only gotten giddy giddy choco I think two or three times in the whole two or three times in the 11 years I've lived here, two or three times from students. And my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, obviously, she gives me giddy giddy choco every year. She gives me nice ones too. It's a bit strange, but I'm not going to complain. It's free chocolate and I love chocolate. So that's a little bit of the story on Valentine's Day and chocolate. Not to put a dampener on that for you ladies, it's the opposite in March, so don't worry about it. So 1 month later, March the 14th, it's White Day. That's when the men have to return the favor and give chocolate back to the women. I'm not sure if men have to give giddy giddy choco. I don't know that. I'll check that out for you guys and let you know on the next podcast. But yeah, March 14th is White Day. It's the opposite day, Valentine's Day, where the men return the favor and give chocolate back to the women. So it's a win-win situation for people in a good relationship in Japan. So you get chocolate on Valentine's Day in February the 14th, and you get chocolate again on March the 14th. So it's a win-win. So anyway, back to what we're talking about. We're talking about Japanese chocolate, and we're talking about Royce today. We're going to focus on Royce. Royce is one of the famous Japanese chocolate makers, and they make stellar products. Really, really good stuff. I love their chocolates. Really nice. So this year on Valentine's Day, from the mother-in-law, she gave us some interesting chocolates, but we'll just talk about Royce quickly. So Royce was founded in Sapporo in 1983. Sapporo is in Hokkaido, the northernmost island. Royce is painstakingly sourced from high-quality ingredients. If you know much about Japan, if you know a little bit about Hokkaido, Hokkaido is famous for its milk and butter. And its food in general, it's really, really high quality, really, really good stuff. So Royce Chocolate was founded there in Sapporo way back in 1983. And it's just like one of the best chocolates pretty much in Japan, up there, I think, surpassing Meiji and the rest. So this year, Valentine's Day, from the mother-in-law, she gave us some Royce chocolates. I've got a nice one in a nice wrapped box I haven't opened yet, because I've got a lot of chocolate here to eat, and I don't want to open it until I feel like it. I like to save my presents. But yeah, so let's go into what we got from her for to share with the family. So we got two really interesting ones, two really exciting ones, which I like, and there is no way in the world I would even contemplate or think about eating this when I was living in Australia before I moved to Japan. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't think about it. It just seems weird, but here we go. So she gave us a box of potato chip chocolate. So the potato chip chocolate is exactly what it sounds like. It's a potato chip and it's coated in chocolate. Well, not totally coated, but one side is covered in chocolate, coated in chocolate. The other side's plain, but it's a potato chip coated in chocolate. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't think about doing that. It's not something I'd just go, hey, let's have a potato chip and let's dip it in chocolate for dessert. So, yeah, well, I eat celery with peanut butter, and I eat Vegemite, and I'm an Australian, so I'm always up for something new and interesting and different. But yeah, the potato chip chocolates, and don't be disgusted by it, guys. It actually is really, really, really good. So, you've got this crisp, crunchy, salty potato chip, which is fantastic already by itself. And then it's covered in Royce's chocolate, which is just goddamn Moorish. Trust me, if you've tried one, once you start eating them, you don't want to stop. It's just so good. So the potato chip chocolate is a unique combination of potato chips and chocolate. Once you start eating them, you can't stop, and they're a very popular item in Japan. I'm on the Royce website right now, so I'll just read a little bit for you guys. So we got the original. So here we go, the original Royce potato chip chocolate. Here's what they say. The eye-opening combination of salty potato chips with chocolate creating a perfect harmony. Still below 25 degrees Celsius. And shelf life is 1 month. So that's the original. They have the original chocolate, which is what we got. I haven't tried the next one yet. I want to try this one. The next one in their lineup is the caramel. So it's potato chip chocolate caramel. Crispy potato chips coated on one side with caramel flavored white chocolate. Oh man, that sounds good. I'm going to go try to track that down somewhere. I might just buy it through their website. On their website, apparently they don't ship internationally, but we can buy it in Japan. And once shipping gets sorted out of here again in Japan, I'll sell these on Tokyo Munchies shop so you can buy them. And the third one in their lineup is... Oh, actually, there's one more. I missed that. There's four of them. So the third one in the lineup is the chocolate fromage blanc. Pardon my French. So the fromage blanc, potato chips coated with cheese-flavored white chocolate. The unique combination will astonish your taste buds. With writing like that, my God, you just got to try it. So white chocolate's already fantastic. That on a potato chip is great. Make it fromage flavored, cheese flavored white chocolate. That is just gold, gold, gold. And the fourth one I missed, the mild bitter. Potato chips coated with semi-sweet chocolate. It's a mild bitter chocolate. So you got four, the original chocolate, the caramel chocolate, the fromage blanc, the white cheese chocolate, and the mild bitter chocolate. Whoa. If you're over here in Japan and you're hunting around looking at Pocky and looking at chocolates and stuff in convenience stores or shops, you'll notice they sometimes have an Otona choco, which is, it translates to adult-only chocolate. So pretty much it's for adults, but there's nothing special about it. It's just that it's bitter and it's dark and that's it. So one other one, we got two from the mother-in-law to share with the family, like I mentioned. And the other one we got, this is one I have never seen before either, and another one I would never even contemplate trying. Popcorn chocolate. Yay! I've lived in the country my whole life in Australia, and like living in Japan's an eye opener. But again, I've never seen chocolate popcorn. I never would have thought about it, contemplated it, or even just went, hey, let's dip some popcorn in chocolate and see what happens. But yeah, it's a thing from Royce Popcorn Chocolate. From their website, each piece of popcorn is caramelized and coated with semi-sweet chocolate. Oh. And again, guys, this one was so Moorish. It was just to die for. I cracked open the pack. It had already been raided by the family, so there's a few left, and I had a couple, and they were just Moorish. You just wanted to keep eating them. So I had my chocolate plate. After dinner, I have a chocolate plate, coffee, and a chocolate plate. So I had chocolate potato chips and chocolate popcorn, and it was just a chocolate fest. It was just out of this world chocolate fest. It was great. Ah, man, I can't wait till I can ship this stuff to you guys. Like, this stuff is off the chain great. Japanese candy, chocolate, sweets, everything is the best. Anyway, so while we're on chocolate, we'll talk about a couple more. I found this one too around Valentine's Day, and it is a limited edition one. I haven't seen it again, but I saw it, and it wasn't too expensive, so I thought, damn it, I like chocolate, I'm buying this. Do you know Umai Ball? Have you heard about Umai Ball before? I've mentioned it in podcasts a few times, because Umai Ball is one of my favorite snacks in Japan. Umai Ball is a corn-flavored snack. It's in a tube, a hollow tube. It comes in about 15 different flavors, and they're really good, too. One of my favorite flavors from the Umai Ball series was pizza, but they stopped making it. I was like, come on, man, that's the best one. So the reason why I mentioned that for is when I was in the convenience store looking at the Valentine's Day chocolates, I saw this. It's a premium. I don't know if it's actually classified as an Umai Ball, but it is from Sanritsu. It's a premium choco batto premium. So Choco Bato Premium, and it's got the little Chocolate Bat Premium mascot on there. Choco Bat is pretty much like an Umai Ball. It's a hollow tube type of thing, and but this one is a premium Choco Bat. The normal Choco Bat you get is pretty small. It's about 4 inches or so. It's a hollow corn puff tube covered in chocolate. This is the premium one, and guys, this is like a lot bigger. Yeah, 1.5 times bigger, and it's in this really beautiful gold packaging. I've got it in my hand right now, I'm checking it out, it's nice. And it's covered in milk chocolate and crunchy nut flakes. Oh, I'm gonna smash that later. That's gonna go down really well for coffee. So let's have a look at a few more. What else have we got up here? This one's not Japanese. I got this from the international store, from Kaldi. When I saw it, I had to grab it. Another famous choco treat here in Japan is the choco pie. I know, choco pie, it's had some connotations there. I'm not going to mention too much. I'll let your imagination run wild of that. Choco pie, cream pie, you get my drift. Choco pie. Okay, just quickly I'll explain that. Breasts, chesticles, what the women have. In Japanese it's opai. Opai means breasts. So you got choco pie. It's not what it means, but it's just funny for foreigners when you hear, hey, you want a choco pie? And you're like, okay. But yeah, anyway, so this one I got from the international store Kaldi. This is a choco pie from Seoul, Korea. I don't know the company. I can't read. Hang on. Oh, it's from SFBIO Co. from Korea. And this is a watermelon choco pie. But they call it the watermelon choco cake. So it's pretty much a choco pie, but the biscuit of the choco pie, or the pie, is actually watermelon flavored. And it's really, really nice, man. I love these too. It's a shame it's an import one, because you can only get this from international shops, but I'm going to go back and get another box of these, and they also have a melon-flavored soda, too. Ooh. So, yeah, that's another awesome one, and I've got one more. Where are you? One more hiding up here. Aha, here you are. Ah, right, this is actually, I've got a couple more. This is a Snickers, a mini Snickers. Snickers, like, yeah, we all know Snickers. Yeah, it's fine, it's just Snickers, there's nothing special about that. But this is what they've done is they've replaced the peanuts, or they actually not replaced them, they've added to the peanuts wheat. So you've got your little Snickers in its traditional packaging, but this one's yellow, and they've got puffed wheat and peanuts, and a little mini bite-sized bar. So that will be going down on the chocolate plate later today too, to get smashed. Put that over there. Last two, we'll talk about Black Thunder. I've mentioned Black Thunder numerous times. Black Thunder is my go-to chocolate when I'm snowboarding, skateboarding, coaching tennis, playing tennis. I always have some Black Thunder in my bag or in my pockets. Black Thunder is a little chocolate bar. It's about probably 2.5 inches, 3 inches long. Awesome packaging design, really, really cool. And they give you an energy kick, and they taste great, and it's like a biscuit with chocolate pieces and nuts and wheat puff coated in chocolate. And I love these so much that I bulk buy them to shop, to sell obviously, but also for myself. I have a box next to my desk, and it's a 20 pack box which I sell as well in the shop, and I just rip it open and I just take them as I want. And it's a terrible thing. Don't tell your dentist that, but yeah, it's just candy heaven. So this one, I'm not sure how new it is. I've noticed it for a few months in the shop, but I finally bought a box of them because I thought, well, I like Black Thunder, might as well buy a box of these ones too. This is the Black Thunder Sembe. So it's the same thing. It's a little chocolate bar with chocolate flakes in there, chocolate chips, but they incorporate sembe, which is a little rice puff pieces in the chocolate bar too. So it's a Black Thunder Sembe. So we've got a box of that next to my box of Black Thunder in the office, and I alternate between those two, which one I'm going to munch when I feel like it. So anyway, guys, that was a bit of a long journey into some chocolate today. I'm going to just talk about one more thing up. We'll go to a break, we'll talk about one more thing, and then we'll wind this podcast up because I have to get back to work on my Tokyo Agents skateboard distribution company and also working on my new clothing brand, Bucka. So let's go to a Bucka commercial break, and after that we'll talk about Bucka a little bit and I'll let you go. So stay tuned and I'll see you shortly. Hey guys, welcome to Bucka. Bucka is my new clothing brand which I've just launched. So you can find Bucka on Suzuri. So if you're in Japan, check out Suzuri. It's a t-shirt website like Teespring. And if you're international, go to Teespring and check out Bucka on Teespring. Bucka! The link will be in the description. And let's get back to the podcast. Yes, Bucka! Hey guys, welcome back, and I'd like to introduce my brand new clothing brand, Bucka. So you're hearing it first ever in the world here on the Tokyo Munchies podcast, Bucka. So Bucka is a Japanese word which means idiot. Bucka, yeah, you can use it with your friends. You can say, Bucka da yo. So you can call your friend an idiot, like in a fun, friendly way. Or you can use it in a very aggressive, harsh way. You go, Bucka daio, or Bucka de shou. You can yell at someone, calling them an idiot. I've taken that name because I think it's funny. And I think it's fun. Because we use it in a fun way with me and my friends. And I've made it into a new clothing brand, which I've launched in conjunction with Tokyo Agents and Tokyo Munchies and Skateboard in Japan. It's available up there on my brand new Teespring shop. The link will be in the description. So if you're looking for it, it'll be in the description. Also, the link will be on my Facebook page, Tokyo Munchies. I'll put it on the Twitter and the Instagram too. So international crew, you can get it at Teespring. For the Japanese crew, you can jump on suzuri.jp/bucka and get it on there. The Japanese shop Suzuri has a lot more stuff on there right now. They've got stickers, bucket hats, normal hats, pullovers, shirts. On the Teespring shop, I'm just building it right now, so I'll put some more stuff on there shortly. On the Teespring shop, you can get premium tees, Bucka OG all over print sweatshirts, Bucka OG tri-blend women's shirts, Bucca OG unisex hoodies, and the classic Bucca hoodie and the premium Bucca hoodie. All depends on your price point, but that's my new brand, that's my exciting announcement, that's why there's a strange commercial. So help support me and help support up and coming brands and yeah, people just having a crack at life and having a go. On the website, it's on the Teespring site, it looks pretty black and white and grey. If you go into each of the products, the shirts, for example, I think there's, what, 2, 4, 6, 8, there's about 20 different colours you can choose from. Bucca's design, like, as I said, Bucca means idiot in Japanese, but I want to make it a little bit more positive and more fun, so I changed the meaning for Bucca for my clothing brand as bold and kind attitude. So you can buy this and people laugh and say, oh, Bucca, the idiot, but it also means having a bold and kind attitude. So it's a positive thing. It's a funny thing and it's a positive thing. I'm going for a very, very monochrome, minimalistic approach with this logo. I'm just going to start off very plain text, very plain font, logos like this, shirts like this for a while, and clothing. And then we're going to get into some really cool, extreme street skateboard style designs with Bucca. I'm going to do limited runs on this. So the original black Bucca OG shirt will only be available for 1 month. I'll run that for 1 month, and then we're going to take it down, and I'm going to change it to a different logo, or different colored font. So it's going to be the Bucca white OG font, run that for a month, and then we're gonna get into the design fun. So each month there'll be a new Bucca shirt. If you missed the one the month before, well, shogunai Bucca, too bad. So those links will be in the description of the podcast. Also jump on the Tokyo Munchies Facebook page, it'll be up on there. Also on my personal page, Kyle Hartshorn. If you're not a friend, you can add me as a friend. I'm pretty affable, I'm friends with heaps of people. I like meeting new people. And yeah, that's pretty much it for the podcast. We'll talk about skateboarding another day, because this is a long podcast. This is a bit of an epic one. I just want to get it posted up there. And we'll be back next week on Wednesday, guys. I hope you have a great weekend and enjoy. Stay safe. Hug a cat. Do what you need to do to feel fulfilled in life. And this is Kyle from Tokyo Munchies signing off. If you got the munchies, we've got the munchies. Tokyo Munchies, come get some. Hey-ya!